Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Therese, your host, and I was trained to be an architect. I work as an architect, and I started this podcast to talk about what's next in the fields of architecture, design, and technology, facing topics such as climate change, artificial intelligence, and where humanity's place is in this fast-moving world. I hope you enjoy this week's episode, so have fun listening.
Hello. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm really glad you took the time. And how are you?
Hello, Therese. I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I'm very happy to talk to you and to your audience and to just, you know, have a cup of coffee with you.
Yes, we have a time difference of 7 hours. But before we get into this, who are you? Please introduce yourself and the studio.
Okay, I'm Carlos Patron. I'm an architect. I'm the founder architect of TACO, Taller de Arquitectura Contextual in Southern Mexico. We are in Mérida, which is a medium-sized city in the warmest part of Mexico. You can in there close to the Caribbean and the Gulf of Mexico, and it's the area where all the Mayan culture is from. We have a studio that we have been working together since almost 12 years ago. My partners are Ana and Alejandro, who are an interior designer and a civil engineer. And the objective of TACO is to find in one place the, you know, the all what you need for a complete architectural work. We don't seek architectural projects, we seek architecture itself that it needs to be built. So we try to figure out all the way to make it happen. And the philosophy behind our work is to work with the context. The meaning of TACO comes from contextual architecture workshop. It's what it means. So we are into, you know, finding the solutions of the problem from the analysis, then the diagnostic, and to deliver a strategy, and after that, start the developing of the whole project.
To see architecture itself is a really good phrase. We will come back later to this.
Okay.
And normally I start with some warm-up questions. They are a little bit more, I would say, private. And okay. The first one would be, what's your favorite drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic. Is there something special you drink in Mexico?
Well, I love mezcal. Have you tried mezcal?
Me too.
I love mezcal and everything that comes from mezcal. I don't know. I think it's something that is very Mexican, but its flavor has, like something special. It's something very different. It you can taste the fire and the humo. I forgot how do you say humo, the, you know, the it's an ahumado flavor. I don't know what's the word in English, but I love mezcal and everything that comes from mezcal. But I do also love beer, like, you know, you You are from Germany, right?
Yes.
So you have the best beers in the world. It's something that you're proud of. I'm sure of that. And also wine. I love wine, but with a nice dinner or something like that.
Yeah, I must say I would, in general, I prefer wine. But for example, if I go to a Chinese restaurant or Thailandese, I think beer fits better. That's just on my side.
Yeah, or a sake, maybe.
Yeah, also.
You're in a Japanese.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's cool to, you know, adapt yourself to wherever you are, to try to taste the culture of the place that where you go, and that includes also drinks. Don't you think so?
I think so too. If you could develop a skill overnight, what would you wish for? It can be anything.
A skill overnight?
Yes.
Okay, that's a nice question. Well, I think I would like to sing.
Really?
Yeah, I like singing. I'm a karaoke fan.
Well, it would be nice that... If you wouldn't have become an architect, you would probably now be a pop star.
I don't know if pop star, probably a rock star.
Okay.
But yeah. I like that.
What's your favorite hobby besides architecture?
Besides architecture, I love traveling. I love to meeting new people, meeting new places, new cultures. And I like the idea to get to know how other places work. I would say that's where my income goes on traveling.
Yeah, and it goes very fast.
Yes. Very fast, but it worth it, I think.
Yeah, of course. What was the last destination you traveled to?
The last destination? Well, lately I've been going to... I love to Mexico City, but for working purposes. But my last vacation destination was San Antonio in Texas, United States.
In Texas?
Texas, yeah.
So you went to a ranch?
Yeah.
Really?
A big ranch, but very big. No, actually, it's pretty nice, San Antonio. I really liked it. It's like very European style, the downtown, which is very weird in United States cities.
Yes.
And it has, you know, this river walk, urban space. And I also went to some architecture buildings or parks that are very nice. So yeah, I also went in that same trip. I went to also to Austin, but just one day, and McAllen. But McAllen, I wouldn't recommend it. We just went there to visit some family. And my next trip is to Colombia.
Ah,
yeah,
but that's really nice.
Yeah, I've heard that, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Have you been to Germany yet?
No, well, just in the airport of Frankfurt.
Oh, okay.
But haven't been there. But I've heard that Berlin, that I would love Berlin. What do you think?
My favorite is Hamburg.
Hamburg, okay.
Yeah, but Berlin is more, probably a little bit more cool.
Okay, why Hamburg is your favorite? I'm curious about
First of all, because my family lives close to it. Okay. And it's just beautiful. If the sun shines, normally it rains a lot. But if the sun shines, it's the most beautiful city in the world.
Really?
I would say.
I have to go there then.
Yes.
I would love to.
Then, of course, I checked your website and your Instagram page, and I see a lot of beautiful designs and buildings. And my question would be, how do you start? Do you stick to a set of rules if you have to plan something new, or is it just you need creativity and you go for a walk in nature, or how do you start?
Okay, the first thing that we do is not to do anything. I mean, we want to leave it. I mean, it's very usual that when you get a project, your imagination starts going on. And that's something that I have to deal with, to say, okay, stop. You cannot draw a line because you haven't, you know, you haven't done your analysis of the whole situation that includes interviews to the clients, to get to know them and to, you know, try to be in their shoes. So some of the decisions that you take, take their way of seeing the world how they want to live in the process. Mm-hmm. Also to get to know the place, the orientation, how the sun or the wind works in that specific place. What are the materials or the pre-existences that you find in the place? So the first part of the process is to do that, to mm-hmm. all the previous analysis that we call, in order to have a very good idea of the whole problem. Also, the another very important thing that I was missing is the budget that we have for that specific project. That has to be with a lot of the decisions that we make, including the constructive system or the timing of and a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we really take care of, and that's one of the reasons why I can assure that the percentage of projects that we get built are almost all of the ones that we design because of that input that we have. And after that, then there is a part where we have to make some decision or define a way to go, right? Okay, we have this. What are we going to do with this? And then you set a strategy for the project but we are very inclusive with our clients, so they really get to know the reasons that are behind every decision that we make. And we all try to make them take them with us. I mean to be part of the decision, because we believe that way they will take care of the project like they designed it. I mean, we believe that the most we include them, the most they will take care of it and understand the place that they are using. So that's something very important for us. And then, okay. We believe that there are some objective things that the architectural or the design process has itself. And after that, the idea is to put all together and that it end up in something that is functional and is aesthetic and it's you know, emotional, that you actually feel or something with that, that it gives you a connection with the place that you're living, or, you know, that it responds to its context in all the ways. And after the, you know, that whole
yes.
Architectural project at that point is approved, then we started developing and the how to make it happen, and with all the problems that need to be solved in that stage of the process that we like to be in. I mean, even the we have a construction or a building area in Taco. We try to, the design team is also involved in all the construction process.
Is there something or someone that inspires you in the architectural world, or is it nature, or is there something, a movie maybe, that inspires you?
I have to say that my hobby, that is traveling, inspires me a lot. I mean, I'm very inspired because there are many kind of trips, right? I mean, there are like when you visit cities or when you go to nature sanctuaries, or when you just, you know, have a walk in your city. But that I find inspiration in the things that responses of or the ways that the common sense shows in the world, and how do regular people, not architects, respond to specific situations of the place that they live. That's a you know, because you say common sense and that it's not that common. I mean, now there I find a lot of things that you should say that like hey, it's common sense, but it's mm-hmm. very difficult to find it for what I've seen. So everything that gets me closer to that common sense, it's something yeah. that inspires me.
Do you sometimes just sit in the cafe and you watch people?
Yes, a lot.
I also love this.
Yeah, and I start imagining what their lives are about. Or, I don't know, I mean, every person is a different world. So
yes.
It's a different way of seeing things. And that's something very cool to interact with that, with life, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm a person that can, you know, just sit somewhere and just look and see time pass.
yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
When I was a kid, that was something that my grandpa used to tell me a lot, because he used to pick all of the cousins when we were little and take us to work.
Yeah.
to a place that he had, but it actually was just for him to be with their grandsons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all the time I was just sitting and watching the birds and watching the trees and do that kind of stuff, and my other cousins were like playing around or something like that, and I was always, you know, more, I mean, I also played, but I had that, you know, weird thing for a kid, that is to just see things.
No, I can completely understand, because mm-hmm. also me, always really silent and just watching and mm-hmm. being a little bit apart from the group and also just watching. But I think they are just people like this.
Yes.
And do you think that this, I would say it's a skill to to just stay there really calm and watch? Do you think we as humans lose this skill because we take our phones every 2 seconds and check if we have new messages or if something new appears, that we are getting extremely nervous and that we want to reach everything really fast and we cannot just sit there really quiet and calm and watch something and think?
In your case, I mean, I'm 35 years old. So all I can say that even, I don't know, 15 years ago or something, it was very different, the world, right?
Yeah.
And when I was a teenager or something like that, it was very different. I mean, we didn't have this kind of connections that we have today. So mm-hmm. I believe that my generation, it has something interesting because we've lived in both worlds some way. So I think it's, you know, we know what's that and we miss that sometimes and we normally just throw everything away and just do that. But for new generations, I think it's very difficult because they haven't lived that experience before. So I don't know. I mean, it's something to think about.
Because I know sometimes I watch, for example, a movie with my friends. Mm-hmm. And then I see, even though we're watching the movie, they take their cell phones out and they check Instagram, they check WhatsApp, they check everything. And then I'm like, okay, don't you want to watch the movie? Because they can't concentrate for 5 minutes on this movie.
Yeah, and yeah, it's the internet and all the virtual world, it's something that it's very engaging, right?
Yeah.
I think we cannot live our real life away, right?
Mm-hmm. And what impact do you think this way of living has on architecture? Do you think we still take enough time to think about a design, or do we just have to be fast, 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 and we don't have any patience, and then it's maybe in the end not the best design we could have done because we were so impatient?
Well, there is that in the profession for sure, but that's something that in our case we don't do. I mean, we really take our time with our project. And that's, you know, one of the things that we tell our clients since the first time they come. I mean, if you are waiting for a project in 2 weeks, it's not here, right? I mean, you're living in that place, or you're using that place for, you know, this time. I mean, that doesn't mean that we don't have a timing mm-hmm. set, right? I mean, we need to have goals and objectives and a timeline for the development of a project for sure, but we are very in the timing that we set. We try to make them something comfortable and something that we can enjoy, and our team also. Something that we can have the time to do something and to analyze it and say, okay, this is bullshit and we throw it away, and you know, mm-hmm. have that inner conversation with our team, and to be sure that what we deliver to the clients is the best. The best that we could done in that at that moment, right?
And what means being an architect for you? Which responsibilities do you think you have?
Well, some people say that architects don't, you know, it's just a very small part of the society, but I think it's a very important part of the society, because everything is design, everything is architecture in what we're living. I mean, the streets, the way, the buildings that you see when you go to your work, or everything is design and everything is architecture. So in that way, we have a very big responsibility, I believe. And that's something that occupies us, because we don't do just architecture within a limit. I mean, this, I believe in architecture that is part of a system or part of something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think not only in the person that is actually living that place or using that place, but also in the people that is interacting in an urbanistic way with that. So, and every decision or that part of architecture, when architecture meets the public space, I think is one of the moments in architecture that we have to take a lot of care of, because that can, if that approach replicates, it can have a butterfly effect in cities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now that it's everything global, and that, you know, the projects are shared, actually can go faster to other places. And so, I mean, what we believe is that what we want to share, I mean, is the way that the methodology or the way that we find or do things, but not actually the things that we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was clear, but yeah.
No, I think it was very clear. And responsibility in terms of climate change, also, what importance has nature in your project?
A lot. I mean, that's something that we, I mean, it's not, it's something that it's like a must. I mean, it's not a negotiation that, okay, in this project we can do that, or no, it's something that goes because it's needed in this place. But we try to introduce that relation with nature since the basics. For example, we rather renovate a building in downtown or do than putting a lot of technology to, you know, to.
Yeah.
I mean, we believe in technology, but not as a replacer, just like something that makes it stronger or the, mm-hmm. you know, the savings. But I mean, I'm not into buildings that, you know, this big, tall and huge building that has all the technology, but it's for doing that, you have to, it's in the outside of the city and you have to make a lot of infrastructure to get there. And I don't know. So we are more into the basic way that architecture can relate, like taking pre-existences like trees or, you know, natural things in the design process, like giving its place. It's not like something that is left at the mm-hmm. end. I mean, it's the main thing, but also the, you know, if we're working, we are used to working in very warm places, so it's not the same to do a long facade facing west.
Yeah,
that is the warmest one. Then do the small facade to that to that orientation. So that's, you know, like we call them passive systems. I don't know if it's the same word in English, but we work a lot with that.
Yeah, I have the feeling that at least in Germany, the buildings, the new buildings, are getting smarter and smarter and smarter, more insulation, more electronic sunscreen, air conditioning. But on the same side, they are getting really dumb because all this production process of the insulation that is shipped from China to here, I mean, it's the opposite of green architecture.
Totally. I mean, one time there was a international company that came to us to sell screens for windows. You know, because they block insulation or something like that. And I was like, we don't need this because we won't put a window in a way that it will give me that insulation, right? I mean, or we can, you know, do a, I mean, there are other ways that are actually cheaper also, you know, and that come from the common sense. But there are, like, you know, some industry around that try to solve dumb buildings, like you say, right? Yes. But if you start with doing a smart building, like from the scratch, like,
yes,
then you don't need that solution.
Yeah, but that would mean that you have to put some more creativity into the process of designing it. And be smart. And also on the other side, all the firms want to sell their things. So it's a huge industry, this really big cycle of...
Yeah, it's very complex. But yeah, and that's something very... It's a symptom of big firms, I think, also. Because when you keep it... your company in a size that, you know, let you enjoy the process and let you work as an architect, actually, because when you have a very big firm or a very big company, you start just like having meals with your clients and that's all. I mean, you don't have time for anything else, probably answering some email or, but I mean, I didn't, that's not my passion, I mean, no? And I respect the people that's their passion, but in my case, that's not the point of being an architect for me. For me, I like to be involved in all the process and all the, you know, that. So for that, I have to, you know, keep it, you know, a small workshop.
To a certain size of...
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, I know the limits where I start losing control or something like that. So yeah.
No, I can completely understand this.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Are there special materials in Mexico that you use to build with?
We adapt to the place where we design. At the moment, I mean, all of our projects are mainly in the Yucatan Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we started building projects in other parts of Mexico. And you know, Mexico is a very big country, and it has a lot of different cultures within it, and a lot of climates and a lot of materials that come from there. So the materiality of our projects, we believe that has to come from the place where it's done. So if we talk about our projects in the same area, probably you'll find some similarities, right? But if you see a project in other part of Mexico that has a different temperature, or you know, we're used to block the sun and look for shadows, but in Mexico City or colder places, it's the opposite. You're looking for the sun, and you're looking for warm, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the materials are very different. But I believe that's one part of architecture that helps architecture melting in its place. There's no better material for architecture than the one that you find within a few miles away from there.
For example, what do you find in Mexico City? More stone, right?
In Mexico City, you find a lot of, for example, you can work more with wood, you can work more with stone, but it's a volcanic stone, which is different than the stone that we have here. The concrete there is darker, for example, the concrete here is lighter because of the type of stone that we have here. Here we have to deal with humidity.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something we have to take care of the wind flow. In Mexico City, it's, you know, you actually want to block that because of the... So there are a lot of differences, and there they have earthquakes. We don't have earthquakes, but we have hurricanes. So,
okay, so you have everywhere something.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, every place has its things.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I've never been to Mexico yet. But if I will go, hopefully soon, I will look out for the differences.
Yeah, I mean, you're also, I mean, I don't have to say it, but you are invited to the Yucatan Peninsula for sure.
When I arrive, I will give you a call.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm there.
Yeah, it's for real. And also, Mexico City is a very big city, and it's a very modern city, and it's has a lot of culture and a lot of museums and a lot. It's very magical. It's a magical place, Mexico City, and very dynamic and very diverse. But yeah, like Oaxaca is very different. Chiapas is very different. Yucatan is very different. The north part is very different. Similar to, or has a lot of influence from the United States. That part is not our case. And yeah.
No, I will. I think it's definitely worth it traveling to. But my next question would be, how do you imagine the future living and working space?
Living and working space. I imagine it
like really far in the future. Do you think we have all those Oculus Rift glasses on and we just sit in little concrete boxes and we have our avatars and we don't even meet each other in real life anymore?
How do you imagine it?
Or the complete opposite?
I mean, that's a danger that I fear, that we end up living that way. That would be very sad. But how would I like the future? If that was the question, you know, to use the technology and the advances in a smarter way. For example, in a way that help us, you know, saving the world, but not in a commercial, the commercial way that we are seeing it now. I mean, even the climate change is a business now, and that's not right. So I like to think in the future where architecture can melt in nature, where culture is a diverse world through architecture that responds to its culture and its places and its territories, and that we that people can, you know, that the architecture is a way to get people closer to nature. That's the way that I would like it to be.
Do you think that the human race will live on forever, or are we supposed, like, it's somewhere written that we will die like dinosaurs at some point, and then we're just gone, and something like artificial intelligence will take over our place because we were too dumb to save the earth, and now artificial intelligence takes over and we as a race just die like dinosaurs? Do you think it's possible?
Everything is possible. I mean, yeah. it's scary, but I mean, it can be possible for sure. Because, yeah, it's something to think about. But yeah, I don't think that. I think we're not a forever species. For sure. I mean, we are, for some reason, we're not able to get together, in even if we know that what we need to do, we don't do it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we probably don't take it seriously. I mean, but for example, with this pandemic that we have left behind, we could see that when politicians, you know, do or put, I mean, they can do something, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they could, you know, like, say, okay, I mean, they can do that.
Yes.
They're able to do it. And I'd say, why don't they do it now? I mean, we were fighting against this virus or something, and we did something, and we, you know, stopped it. Why don't, what are we waiting for to do the same with our Earth?
Probably because it's a money machine. And all this tail that hangs to this climate and technology thing,
it's frustrating because probably there is our problem. The way that we are organized,
yes,
is the, you know, with countries and limits and, you know, these wars that we're having, probably there is the solution in the way that we organize ourselves.
Yeah, probably we will not find the answer to this question out.
For sure we're not.
Or maybe there's some technology that we can live forever. Who knows? At some point. I don't even know if I would like to live forever and see all this mess happening more.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very weird because also the the medical industry.
Yes.
It's a very dark industry.
Yes. That's another different topic.
Yeah.
But now we already reached the last question.
Okay.
What means architecture for you personally? I think you already answered it a little bit, but if you could sum it up in one sentence.
Well, the difference that I would, that I find in this last question is the personal world,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I have a different, or what I've said it's as an architect, I define myself as an architect also. But personally, it's the way that I see the world. I mean, it's the way that I live. For me, it's really my passion. I mean, it's something that I decided since a very young age. I believe that it's a way that I can give something to the place that I live, and hopefully make a good influence some way in others, and you know, try to be someone that help people live in a better way and a closer way to its territory, to their territory. So probably that's architecture for me. It's the way we as humans live in this world.
Really nice description. It sounds really calming, and it's a nice sentence to end the interview. Thank you very much for your time. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Therese. It was a pleasure also for me.
This was this week's episode. We really hope you liked it as much as we did. If you have comments, suggestions, critics, please let us know. And till next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao!